why the facility built 10 years ago is important for us to be celebrating.
Yes, thank you so much, Len, for having us on today. The facility anniversary is definitely something to celebrate because it really anchored the impact of our mission by creating more opportunities for youth in the Kenosha community. So anytime an opportunity is created for the youth in our community, I consider that to be something to celebrate. During the past 29 years, the Boys and Girls Club has grown. We started by serving fewer than 200 kids at a drop-off site in the Wilson Heights neighborhood. And now to a growing organization serving slightly more than 12,000 youth members each year through after-school programs and recreational sports activities. If we look at Boys and Girls Clubs around the United States, they serve and have been serving children across the United States since the early 1900s. And the Kenosha organization started in 1992 with only 198 youth members meeting in the basement of the Memorial United Methodist Church. In December of that same year, the Boys and Girls Club Board of Directors, they were able to purchase the church and create a permanent home for Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha. And that was located at 37 1250th Street. And like I said, you can just see the impact and the upward trajectory of the growth. So the building is very much monumental as it allowed us to create a major impact for our community.
Wow. Tara, I'd like you to continue by telling us a little bit about the big event which took place yesterday at your new building. What did you do yesterday and all week to celebrate this? And that's an amazing number. You said 12,000 young people?
Yes, Len. Mm-hmm. Yes, walk through our doors. It's fantastic.
So what went on this past week and yesterday, Friday?
So we wanted to include our members, our youth, in this celebration. So we had a building 10-year birthday party. And our youth center directors and our entire Boys and Girls Club staff were able to celebrate with the youth by having cupcakes and decorations and a birthday party. So the youth were very excited about that. But in addition to that, we wanted to show the great work that the Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha does. So we invited the community into the facility for tours at 10 o'clock in the morning and one at 2 in the afternoon. So everyone was able to, who wanted to, come in, get an opportunity to see the great work that's being done here at the club.
That's terrific. I might mention that we are pre-recording this a couple days early. Tell us a little bit more about what the club's facility includes, Tara. Tell us a little bit more about what kind of programs are offered. And I notice when I look at membership, you have preteens, teens, and tweens, and you even have adult memberships. Do you want to just go over that briefly and what the facility includes and some of the highlights of the programs? I think we'd be here until Sunday if we named all of the programs.
You are absolutely correct, Len. We serve, just by that number alone, the 12,000, you know that we have a lot of different programs, you know, for youth, tweens, and teens. But first, I'd like to start off by talking about what the facility does, in fact, include. We have an 80,000 square foot facility here in Kenosha. At the time it was built, it was the largest standalone Boys and Girls Club at the time. The club is very unique. It features a youth, tween, and teen center. It also, in addition to that, features a field house, a soccer stadium, a commercial kitchen, and administrative offices, just to name a few. And we are home to all of those various programs that we talked about.
Tara, you've been in your position there as a chief executive officer for only about 4 months, and you were previously did a marvelous job at another organization and community. Do you want to just tell us about that transition very briefly?
Sure, absolutely. So previous to my role here at Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha, I spent the previous 4 years at United Way of Kenosha County, and I had come to United Way with 18 years of experience in banking. So I spent the majority of my career, 14 years specifically, at Johnson Financial Group, and then about 2 years at Kenosha's very own Southport Bank at the time. So my transition into the nonprofit community really stemmed from my time at Johnson Financial Group. And I say that because when I first became an employee of that organization, Sam Johnson was still alive at the time, and I had the pleasure of getting to know him and see how he was as a leader within the organization. He was an individual who really walked the talk and really gave back to his community. He stressed how important it was for employees to be involved in that community, because your community becomes stronger and it's just better for everyone involved. So I took that message to heart, and I really became involved in the community at that time, serving on numerous boards of directors. I think at the highest I was serving on 8 boards at one particular time when I worked for Johnson Financial Group. And in addition to that, was a Rotarian and very much a community activist as far as raising money for programs and services that made an impact. And after a while, Len, I thought to myself, well, I'm spending so much time, you know, in this world that maybe I should make it a career and head in that direction, because philanthropy was very much a part of my heart. So I started looking for opportunities in the Kenosha community, as this is where I was born and raised. I was born and raised here, and I have a vested interest in making sure that this community stays strong for the youth and for our next generations.
That's great. And you bring then to this work not only a strong business sense, but you also mm-hmm. bring to this work an innumerable community connections and potentials for partnerships based on your personal interactions with those organizations, which I know is essential to your long-term success. That's terrific. Now, I want to turn to your colleague that you've brought with you today, Kathy Holland. Kathy, you're the director of operations for the club, and I thank you for joining us. You've been there a little longer than 4 months, I think, as I recall correctly. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about why the new building was needed, and maybe compare and contrast the before and after, a decade ago versus 2021?
Well, thank you, Len, and thanks again for having us on here today. Well, Tara mentioned the church in the Wilson Heights neighborhood, which I've actually been with the Boys and Girls Club for 15 years. So I was at that building, you know, for a while. We also had the CYC sports building that was on 52nd Street, right down the street from here, where we hosted our sports programs and things like that. And so the church was, you know, great, but it was old, and we couldn't expand. There wasn't enough room to, you know, meet the needs of the kids that we wanted to serve. And the old CYC sports building, again, was, you know, small. The gyms were small. We're starting to need some major repairs. And so it was just really a need. So it looked a lot different than it does now. And the amount of kids that we can serve and everything that we have, like kids have new opportunities that they didn't have in our old, you know, facilities. And this affected not just the kids in our traditional after school, out of school day programs, but also kids in the community that are involved in sports. I mean, that's a long tradition, CYC sports, and we, you know, made sure that we could keep serving those kids in our community, which we do every day. So
that's terrific. It must have been tough to close down those old facilities, though, over a decade ago, wasn't it, Kathy?
You know, it really was. It was very sad. I sometimes even still drive by the old club in the Wilson Heights neighborhood. It was sad to see the building go down, because there's a lot of memories there and there's a lot of impact there, you know, of kids. So because I've been around so long, you know, kids that were in that club when they were young, you know, are now some of our alumni, which we're going to talk about later. But I saw some kids the other day that were from the club, and they're like older, but they're like, "Hi, Miss Kathy, how are you?" And but, you know, it's amazing. I remember one young man, he used to skip into the old club, and I used to be like, that made my day. And I just saw him recently, and he just graduated from high school. So, yep. So a lot of memories. It was sad, but it was great to be able to offer more opportunities to all of our members.
That's for sure. Now, Tara, this wasn't an easy lift, and you were around to see it happen, although you weren't involved personally. Tell us who the stakeholders were in getting this facility built. You say it's the largest boys and girls club around the area, or?
It was at the time when it was built in 2017. I'm not exactly sure, Kathy. I don't know if you know if it still remains with that status today, but it definitely was at the time of its construction.
Right, because a lot of the boys and girls clubs, you know, have buildings, but they have like multiple sites. Sometimes those are in schools, different things like that. We're different in that we have a big sports program, and, you know, that makes us different than other boys and girls clubs throughout the country. Some do the same, but we were at the time the largest standalone facility.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about how this thing came about, Tara.
Sure. So we, the Boys and Girls Club and its board of directors, we embarked on a capital campaign, and there were so many people, you know, past and present, that we really need to thank for helping us, you know, have this vision come to fruition. There were past and present donors, board members, partners, staff, and so many members. But some key stakeholders were really the Madrigrano and Troja families. They were amongst the club's earliest supporters and advocated for many years on the need for the club to have its own building. Their families' names remain on the building to this day. Multiple generations of family members have continued to be of huge support for our club. In addition to that, the city of Kenosha also played a tremendous role in the success of the club. And the former mayor and city administrator, Keith Bosman, Frank Pacetti, common council members, very instrumental in this effort, along with Mayor John Antirinium for his support. Camozzi Construction, still to this day, talks about the vision and how the project in and of itself was very, not easy, but the partners that were involved, we were all here for the same purpose, you know, and that was to create opportunities for youth. So it really, from a project construction perspective, went off very seamlessly. And then, of course, the county and the county executive, you know, Mr. Jim Cruiser, very big support for us at the club and continues to be so today. So, again, we would just like to thank all of those individuals, past, present, and future, for helping us get to where we are.
For sure. My guests today on Community Matters are Tara Panachewicz, the Chief Executive Officer of the Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha, and with her is Kathy Holland, Director of Operations for the club, and we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of their new building on 52nd Street. And I toured that building just after it was built, and I also toured it after at least one remodel, and I was struck by the beauty of the design. I can't remember who the architects were, and also struck by the efficiency and thoughtfulness of the design of that building. I'm sure you'll find it's been serving you well, and I imagine Kathy could actually even talk about that.
So we were all part of committees when this building was being designed, so I think that had a lot to do with it. I mean, there were youth development professionals that actually do the work that, you know, were part of, you know, helping to say what we needed, and there were our sports staff that, you know, also thought what would be best for us to be able to do the most for the community. You know, the soccer field, I mean, that went back and forth, but thank goodness we did it, because that program has just absolutely boomed. I mean, we have about 1,200 kids a session in soccer, and that's just kids programming. Adult programming, we have adult soccer also, so it's really served the community well. I think the other piece is that this, we really wanted this to be a community center. So besides the Boys and Girls Club being here with our traditional Boys and Girls Club programming, our sports program, we also have community partners in the building, mm-hmm. which is, you know, important. We have Kenosha Community Health Center. We have UMOS Energy Assistance. And so, you know, we have some great partners in the building too. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's very important. Now, you've grown a lot over the past 5 years. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what recently has been grown, and Tara and Kathy. And also, you mentioned the fact that you don't have a distributed set of buildings around the city. You have one major facility. But that doesn't mean that people are shut out if they don't live within walking distance, as just about everybody lived within walking distance of the old COYC when I was a kid. So tell us a little bit about how all that works together and how you reach out and some of the new things you've done that are really quite fascinating.
Sure. I would like to start by, acknowledging our mission and our goal. And that, of course, is to serve as many youth as we can in the Kenosha community, Len. So we want to bring our youth to the club. And one way to do that was to expand on our transportation system. That was a huge factor in growing the club attendance. As we talked about earlier, with serving those 12,000 youth that come through our doors, we did that through the Gus the Bus system, and we've had several community partners who were instrumental in making that happen, one of them being Kenosha County, for sure. We have four buses here at the club, and they go out during the school year and bus in from 9 elementary schools around Kenosha County. And that is how we were able to grow numbers and reach a broader, a broader section of our community, and have those youth experience what it's like to be in the club. And Gus the Bus launched in 2016, 2017, for that purpose only.
And how do they get back home afterwards? Once you get them there, what happens at the end of the day then, Kathy?
Yeah, so at the end of the day, the parents pick them up. We're open till, for our youth center kids, we're open till 7 p.m. So, you know, most of them by that time have finished work or school or, you know, whatever it is, and they're able to pick them up. That doesn't seem to be the problem. The problem was getting the kids here.
From the school.
So we really have spread out to all over, you know, picking kids up from everywhere. I remember being asked, a while ago, like, what do you need to bring the numbers up at the club, and I said, a bus, we need a bus. So that was great when from the generosity of many people, we were able to get the buses. And then I also want to just mention our partnership with Kenosha Achievement Center, because we have a partnership with them, with that nonprofit, and they actually drive the buses. So, which is a really cool part of it. So we're working with a lot of different people in the community to make sure that it happens, that these kids have a good, safe place to go where they're getting, many opportunities, education, a lot of enrichment, sports, health, wellness, all those kind of things. Yep.
Now, there's some other interesting things on the program list, and there's a Jefferson mention, there's a Scamps mention. What are those?
I'll start with Scamps and address that. That was an exciting opportunity for the club. As of January 1st of this year, Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha took on the operations of Scamps Gymnastics. Scamps Gymnastics and CYC Legendary All-Star Cheer have been part of the Kenosha community for about 38 years. They operate out of a 39,000 square foot facility by the Kenosha Ice Rink on the south side of town. And Randy Anderson, who is looking to retire, really wanted to carry on that mission in that sport, and is very passionate about it, as well as the staff members that are involved. So Boys and Girls Club is a very solid organization. So he looked to us, and from a mission perspective, where we want to provide our youth members with opportunities that they might not get to experience otherwise, this was just a no-brainer for us. It was very important for us to continue on.
So you're the owner and operator now of that facility,
yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, that's terrific and very civic-minded, and it's rather unusual because I'm sure that was a commercial organization at the start, probably, most likely. Is that right? And you have got, or perhaps it was nonprofit, I don't know. But you brought it in and you saved the mission, which is just incredible visionary thinking. I compliment you on that. Kathy, go ahead.
So I was going to talk about our Jefferson site. So with our growth of getting busing and having all the kids get here, although this building is very big, we run out of space because we're getting so many kids here. And that's starting an uptick right now after COVID. But so we know that the way for us to impact more kids besides the busing is to get into a school site. And so we talked to the principal at Jefferson Elementary, Kathy Walsh, and worked with KUSD and the county, and we were able to open a after-school site at Jefferson Elementary. And it's been very successful. The last couple years, there's been some restrictions on like how many kids we can have there and things like that. But in 2019, we were serving about 75 kids a day over there.
Well, that's a terrific outreach. And it's a good problem to have when you start filling up the facility. Then you get to serve even more people and be even more mission successful, don't you? That's really wonderful. Kathy, you mentioned veiled reference, the pandemic. Let's hit that nail on the head. What was your response to the pandemic, and what were you able to accomplish this past year? I can't imagine, I truly can't imagine the challenge that it presented to you.
It was certainly a big challenge and, very sad. I remember, the day that we decided along with everyone else in March, they had closed the schools and, we had to decide that was best for our kids and the community for us to do the same. I remember being very sad, like tears in my eyes, because I knew that I wasn't going to see the kids for a while. I didn't know it was going to be that long, but we responded. Even though we didn't have kids in the building, our staff was doing outreach. So they were, you know, doing different programming with kids online and doing things like that. Our outreach staff were actually going out and meeting with kids and families from a distance, from yards and porches. And we also started handing out meals from our building. So we partnered with KUSD, and every day our staff was here handing out meals to the community. We actually had parking, or, you know, like traffic issues where we had to put up cones and stuff because so many people were here getting food. It was, you know, essential for a lot of people. And then in June, we made some decisions about our sports programs and our traditional club programs, and did programming with a limited capacity. And we put a lot of protocols in place to ensure that all the kids were safe throughout that. And then, so we were open from June of 2020. Mm-hmm. And we've been open since, and we've adjusted, you know, as we've gone along. So KUSD at one point had to go all virtual because they were worried about what was going to happen with the COVID numbers. But we knew that there's some parents and families that can't work from home. I mean, they have a job that, you know, won't do that. So again, we shifted and adjusted our programming and, you know, let kids be here from 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. And our staff helped kids get logged on and, you know, whatever they could. They're not teachers, but they did help the kids adjust to all that was going on with the virtual learning. And then when that was over, we adjusted back. And now we're at a place where we're fully open. Kids can come. All of our sports programs are up and running and booming. So it's really hopeful and very bright about what's happening right now for the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, I salute you for all of that pivoting, which must have made you dizzy. You had to pivot so much. You were like going in circles. And the fact that you maintained the relationships as best you could with the individual club members in so many ways, I'm deeply impressed by that and how important that must have been to so many children in our community. That's really heartwarming to hear. Now, you mentioned earlier alumni successes, young people who have been through the program that you, of course, have followed and have come back to share with you their life story. I wonder if you would share some of that with me. I think, Kathy, you're probably the only one of the two of you who has the longevity to do that. So, Kathy, take some time and tell us about that. I can hardly wait to hear.
Yeah, so, again, like I said, I've known these kids for a long time. So there's Christian. I'm just going to use his first name. And he actually ended up getting a scholarship to Herzing. And got his degree last year and is doing well. I'm in frequent contact with him, still a mentor and probably will be for life. So he's doing really well. We've got another alumni, Nakaya, who is at Hampton University. And she actually got interested in that university on a college tour that she did with the Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, that's where she got the interest in that. We also have an alumni that just became an alumni because he just graduated from high school. And he was our Youth of the Year. And he actually got a full scholarship to Carthage for 4 years. So that's very exciting for him.
To be a teacher. He wants to be a teacher
and come back and work with our kids because he works with us now. And then one other thing, we recently hired Lloyd Lewin, who is our director of outreach in schools, so he does prevention programming both at the club, in the community, and at the schools. And he's a Boys and Girls Club alumni also that is back here. And the reason why he's here is because he knows what an impact it made on his life and wanted to make sure that he could do that for others.
That's terrific. And I'm sure there are many, many stories. I imagine that if you haven't already started, you'll be doing some longitudinal studies and more evaluation to explain the benefits of your work to the community and to the many supporters and funders that you have. That's terrific. I wonder if you could tell us about other things that you have with or you know with respect to the program impact, Kathy.
Yep. So right now we started our summer youth employment program, which is a partnership with Kenosha County and Community Impact Programs. So right now we have 130 youth. They do a week of school if they're of that age, where they get a half credit towards high school graduation. And so they did that last week. They're doing some makeup classes this week. And then they go and work. They're working in all different places. Some work at Popeyes, some work at the Kingfish, some work in the county parks, all different places. Through the years, that has reduced the crime rate of juveniles by 70%. It was in 2019. 2020, we feel, was skewed. It was 94%, but there was a lot of other things in that played into that.
Too many confounding variables, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that program's unbelievable.
It's called the Summer Youth Employment Program. Is that the...
Yes. Summer Youth Employment Program. Yep. The other thing, I was talking about Lloyd, who does outreach. So part of that program is many different things, but he case manages kids besides doing prevention groups in the schools. So the kids that we case manage, we track grades, behavior, that kind of stuff. And 75% of the youth improve their academic performance. Sometimes it's more, it can be 80, 85, because they're really making a difference in what they're doing. We also have a B grade graduate program that we run out of Bradford, where we have a graduate specialist there that works with a small caseload of kids. And the whole intention is to get those kids to graduate from high school. We actually, in her program, had three graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. Two are going on to college, and mm-hmm. one wants to be a real estate agent. So he's going into that. Mm-hmm. There's just so much that makes an impact. I could go on for hours and hours.
That's really very heartwarming. I wonder if you would talk a little bit about the affordability issue of either one of you. I know that some of the programs cost as much as $60 a week, and I'm just wondering how community members can provide scholarships and support for families that can't afford but could benefit from some of those programs.
Right. So for every sports program, which are usually the programs that that are fee-based, mm-hmm. we have a free and reduced lunch price. So if someone has free and reduced lunch, they get a discount. And we also offer scholarships. People have to apply for the scholarships. And then, you know, if they can't afford it, we take care of it for them. Our membership to our traditional Boys and Girls Clubs, kids can come after school every day from 2:30 to 8 p.m. with youth tween and tween centers combined. And during the summer from noon to 5 and non-school days. The price for that is $20 per year per individual and $30 a year for a whole family. So if you have five kids, it's $30 a year. We also, when they come every day, we make sure that everybody gets a healthy meal. So right now during the summer, they're getting lunch. Mm-hmm. But during the school year, when it's, you know, a later time, they don't get here till 2:30, we feed them dinner to make sure that, you know, everybody has a full belly. And, you know, it's a very good nutritional meal. We have a chef and cooks here that make sure that the kids are eating and eating healthy. So, you know, we really try to make it where everybody can participate and help if they can't.
That's wonderful and so important today, as always. Now, maybe you could just briefly tell us what's going on right now this summer, a couple of highlights maybe.
Yep. So probably my favorite one is we're doing a boat building camp that ended actually yesterday. And we will be doing a boat launch today at down at the harbor at the Sailing Center. The kids have worked for 2 weeks building these boats, painting them, decorating them, naming them, and now they're going to get the opportunity to actually launch them in the harbor. So that's been unbelievable. Great partnerships and sponsors there. Mm-hmm. Also with Offsite and Snap-on.
What time is that launch going to take place?
We would like people there at 9:30 a.m.
So it's a little early. If you've already listened to this broadcast, you probably you probably missed it, but it starts early. It started early today. Now, what else do you want to highlight, Kathy, that's going on right now?
So we just concluded Boys and Girls Club Week. So that's a national happening at all Boys and Girls Clubs through the country. We had a spirit week, and the kids did different activities every day, culminating with the building's birthday, we call it. So the kids could, you know, celebrate and wish the building a happy birthday. And then one other thing that I want to mention is our partnership with Carthage College through the arts. So we've been working with them for a while now, and they've really been an unbelievable partner. And this summer, we're actually doing 4 one-week camps. One is a singing camp, one's an acting camp, one's a dancing camp, one's a visual art film camp, and then there's going to be private voice lessons for kids that want to develop that talent. So that's a partnership with Carthage. They send either alumni or current students to actually run the programs, and they've been so successful. The kids love them. And it's also through our Arts Foundation.
Yes.
So they, you know, help with us being able to do this with the kids. Yes. But it's really a busy summer. There's a lot going on, and enjoying every minute of it. The days go by quickly.
That's so wonderful to hear. It makes me want to be a kid again, darn it. Yeah. Now, Tara, I wonder, I'd like to wind up asking you a couple of questions. First, what's it been like for you these first 4 months there at the club?
The staff has been incredibly supportive. The board of directors, donors, everyone has welcomed me with open arms. For me, I am here so that I can positively impact the lives of youth in the Kenosha community. I am laser focused on that mission. What I would like to do is spend more time getting to know the kids. I want to be able to, in years to come, have stories like Kathy does. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to, you know, have the youth walk down the aisle and say, "Hi, Miss Tara." So that is my main goal. I am laser focused on providing as many opportunities as I can for them to be successful.
I'd like you to put on your noodle hats now, each of you, and where would you like to see the club be in 3 to 5 years? CEO Tara Panasiewicz, Kathy Holland, Director of Operations. What is your vision? What is your hope? Where do you want to keep going and keep improving? What keeps you going besides just the day to day?
What keeps me going is the stories that Kathy had had the pleasure of telling earlier. It's seeing our Youth of the Year here being awarded a scholarship to Carthage College and continuing his education in the Kenosha community. I want to do more of that. So 3 to 5 years, you know, my vision is to continue to provide the opportunities that lead our youth to be successful. And really, that means getting the most youth that we can to the club, to expose them to those opportunities. So if we have to expand our transportation, after school sites, focus on post-secondary education, we will explore that, you know, just like we did in COVID. We pivoted and we met the needs of the community where they were at. And I want to continue to do that, as well as involving more families and being that resource, so that not only are the youth provided opportunities, but the families as well. So it's a ripple effect.
Kathy, what would you like to add to that very broad embracing vision?
Yep. So, I mean, a lot of why I'm here is the kids. You know, I can tell stories and I like telling stories because they're really why I'm here and why I do this work. And it's an exciting time for us. I mean, coming out of the pandemic and seeing, you know, so many kids back here enjoying it and they're happy. And, you know, we have a new playground in the back and things like that. So I just, you know, echo Tara in a lot of what she's saying. I mean, the biggest piece is when, you know, there's kids that you mentor, that you watch become successful, and it's just so meaningful. And the way we do that is to reach more kids. Mm-hmm. And our staff is unbelievable. Talk about mentors. I mean, our staff are unbelievable. Our youth development professionals, I can't tell you. I would also like to see us have more programs like Be Great Graduate. Mm-hmm. In other high schools, because it is making a difference. That is huge, to focus on kids that are struggling and have adversity and be able to help them through that and get them graduated. So that's how I feel about it.
Now let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you. What's the URL for your website? What's the phone number they call to get the ball rolling?
Our website is www.b, I want to make sure I say it right, bgckenosha.org. So again, that's www.bgckenosha.org.
The direct line. You have something as quaint as a telephone there too?
Yes, we do. And that is 262-654-6200. Again, 262-654-6200.
And your membership fee, your basic membership fee again, is $20 for an individual, $30 for a family. Is that right?
Correct.
That's correct.
And scholarships are available for that and for sports activities that, of course, require a little bit of an extra fee. Wow.
Correct.
Thank you so much to my two guests today. It's been heartwarming to speak with both of you. Tara Panashewicz, the Chief Executive Officer of the Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha, and Kathy Holland, the Director of Operations for the club. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta, urging you to get informed and get our youth involved with the club. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.